My name is Roy Peretz, and along with my husband, Ron Thurston, we are here to share our stories of learning to let go. After almost 2 decades of living in the Big Apple, we packed our belongings and traveled in an Airstream to discover this beautiful country. In the 16 months of our travel, we saw the most captivating nature, and as we met people in communities along the road, we learned that at our core, we're more alike than we're unalike. Drop the Coconut is about letting go of what is holding you back. It is the story of a little monkey who reaches out its palm to grab a coconut buried deep in the ground. Once he grabs it, his palm is too large to slide out of the hole, and out of greed, he becomes an easy target for his capturer, simply because he wouldn't let go. All I want to tell that little guy is, drop the coconut, you can be free. From our home in Miami, where we are planning our next adventure, we are recording this podcast to share the stories of all the coconuts we had to let go of, and about some new ones that dropped in our lap. We hope you enjoy this episode, and thank you for jumping on our coconut wagon today. Hello, Ron.
Hello, Roy.
We just came back from Disney World.
We did.
We've been there for 4 days.
Yes.
I actually really enjoyed it.
I had the best time.
I didn't think it's going to be that much fun, but maybe because we took the time to be there and not going for a day running around trying to get on all the attractions and everything, maybe because we took the time and we went to take a nap in the middle of the day, then maybe it made it a little bit more... I don't know, fun?
I don't know, just fun and easy, and we took the pressure off of ourselves.
Yeah.
Which felt really good.
Yeah, I didn't care about the crowds. I didn't care about waiting in line. It was really great to just let go and just enjoy the moment over there.
Yeah. The only struggle was food. We're both vegetarians, yes. And that was hard.
There's not a piece of vegetable that hasn't been fried there. That's true. Maybe it's something to work on.
Maybe something, a business opportunity.
Business opportunity in Disney World. We did say that we want to live in Disney now, right? Okay. So moving from Miami to Disney. And then on your birthday, you posted a little bit of a lengthy maybe post on LinkedIn about your age and about your birthday. And you got... I don't know, hundreds of likes and many, many comments from people that we know, from people that we don't know. And maybe you should say first what the post was about.
Yeah. Yeah, the post has been seen like 40,000 people, I think, at this point, between Instagram and LinkedIn. And it was really the story of taking a risk at 50 and saying... You know, I mentioned Andy Dunn in the post around that he had come to LA to convince me to move to New York City and help him launch the guide shop model for Bonomos, which at the time was a really incredible opportunity for me to use my experience and then help build something from scratch. So I was really honored and excited to do it. But at the same time, 50 years old, going to technically a tech D2C company, was the oldest person at the company at 50. But so many things then happened as a domino effect of me making that decision, meeting you, having my next opportunities at Saint Laurent and Intermix would never have happened if I hadn't been there. So many incredible things happened because I took a risk at the age of 50. And I think that that was part of why people really responded to it, because often, even at 50, you're the oldest person in the room. Certainly, you know, at 60, often in the work environment, you're the oldest person in the room. And how to actually celebrate that, how to make that, embrace that power that you have that comes with experience.
Yeah.
And I've said before, in the roles that I had over the last decade wouldn't actually have been able to be accomplished by someone that didn't have 25, 30 years of experience, because they required that level of experience to do a great job. And even though I may have been older than most of the population of the companies, didn't make a difference because I knew I was doing good work. And my skill really shone through in those opportunities.
Yeah. But I think that while you celebrated that on LinkedIn, you also have a personal life, which I know up close because we do this 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And I know that behind that projection of success, there is a lot of fear and there is a lot of struggle. Yeah. And you still talk about, in closed doors, I want to say, you still talk about the fear of being 60, the fear of not being able to make money as much as you made in the past, maybe, or to get the next job opportunity. So where is this gap coming from?
Yeah.
Where is this fear coming from? Even though we project to the outside, and we know that, you know, on social, on LinkedIn, we project something to the outside, but mm-hmm. then it, like, there's an internal process happening that fear is still there,
yeah.
regardless of how confident we are when we go out to the world. So yeah. where is that fear for you?
Yeah, the fear is real. The fear behind the scenes is like, am I too old to do this? Do I have the opportunity presented to me that, you know, if I were 20 years younger, would be different? You know, a lot of it comes into my head. I have to stop and think for a moment and say, would these opportunities come if I had less experience? The answer is no. Mm-hmm. You know, would I be able to accomplish certain things if I were at a different stage in my life? You know, maybe, but the fear is real. I recognize it, and I really do try to just move through it. Sometimes you actually just say, stop it.
Yeah.
Like, stop acting like that. Yeah. Stop acting like a baby. And move forward. So it isn't that those things don't come up for me, because yeah. they do.
Well, I think I say stop acting like a baby, maybe because, you know, we are acting as mirrors to one another. And I do see that struggle within myself as well. I actually knew, I think 10 years ago, I was 38. I knew 10 years ago that my time in the industry that I work in is getting shortened. Mm-hmm. And I saw people, and I saw colleagues, I saw designers who were in their 50s, in their 60s, really at the point where they got, you know, just stuck yeah. in their positions and couldn't move forward. And it doesn't matter how much experience they've had. And I knew that with my path, I knew that there will always be someone younger willing to come in, work more hours than I'm willing to do, and I was willing to work a lot mm-hmm. for much less money that I made, and I was not willing to make less back then. And I knew that there's always an alternative to what I can do.
Yeah.
And the industry, at least in my profession, is going towards taking younger talent, mm-hmm. cheaper talent,
yep.
and... you know, the people that are at the top are at the top. The people that are not are not.
Yeah.
Like in any place, right? But I recognized that 10 years ago, and it took me quite a while to walk away from it. It took me about 6 years to say, okay, this is it. I'm letting that go, because I was afraid of what is going to happen now that I've built some life for myself. I'm making a certain amount of money. I'm renting an apartment that I have to maintain. And how am I going to make enough money if I leave the thing that I've done for the past 15, 16, 17 years?
Yeah.
And it is about reinventing yourself and finding new paths. And one example that I saw from you is that one day you woke up and you said, I'm going to write a book.
I did.
And since I've never seen you writing a single word in the... I don't know, 8 years.
Other than a lot of work emails.
right. In the 7 years that we've been prior to that together, I was like, oh, okay, he's going to write a book. Okay, good luck with that. Keep your day job, but write that book, and then we're going to talk once. And then you actually wrote a book. So where did you find that, I want to say courage, but it was more like that inner need to get up and do something that you've never done before
yeah.
and just take on that task and make it happen.
Yeah, it was really more, I think, determination more than anything else. And yeah. it was part of that. What will the next 5 to 15 years of my career look like? And so this was exactly when I said that to you, was exactly on my birthday at 55.
Yeah.
And so it was exactly 5 years ago. And I said, I believe that this is how I can help recreate, or not recreate, help create what the next 10 years can look like, because books create the perception that you're an expert in the topic. And that is exactly what happened.
Right.
And to the ability to then do the tour and podcasting, and, you know, was really proud, and still today the book sells all over the world.
Yeah.
And this conversation of retail pride is language now that's being used in many retailers and many industries. And I really am proud of that fact. And it did actually help create the path to where we are today.
Yeah. The interesting part with that is that I think that I've seen you in your role for many years doing what you do, but I knew that the best thing that you love to do is actually going to stores and meeting people.
Yeah.
Like, you don't care about the office stuff. You don't care about all the C-suite talk about nonsense all day, and thinking, how do we convert people who come to the store? A question that every retailer asks.
Everyone.
And they're not really, there are some answers, but not real solutions just yet. But I knew that one thing that you love to do is go to stores and talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you wrote that book, at the beginning, I thought, well, why isn't this book like more like academic? Why isn't this book like something that is going to be taught that in NYU or something? Like, it needs to have high, you know, high language, or yeah, like speaking big words. But you chose to go to the place where your passion is, which is actually people.
Yeah.
So how did you know to identify that this is exactly who I need to talk to?
Yeah.
What was the trigger to go to that specific place instead of saying, oh, I'm going to write like this C-suite book, like management book for everybody?
Yeah, for one reason only, and that's because I knew that no one was speaking to this audience. I knew that after all of the years of experience I had running stores, I knew that there was an enormous opportunity to speak directly to the people who do the work on the front line.
Yeah.
That no one was speaking to them specifically.
Yeah.
There are incredible books about retail that are written for the C-suite, but the risk is, does that translate to the front line?
Right.
And almost always the answer is no.
Yeah.
And so I believe in this kind of bottoms up, groundswell, almost like creating a movement approach.
Yeah.
Which is what Retail Pride did.
Right. But I want to shift a little bit from Retail Pride and have this conversation more around the decision to do that something new.
Mm-hmm.
And I know from my experience that I have tried so many times to do that new thing, to do that next step, without a lot of success. I've had a lot of ideas. Every morning I get up with
you
a
do.
New idea, and I think that it's the best idea ever. And I tell everybody my ideas. I call my friend Marav, and I call every family member one after another, and I tell them, this is it. Like, we've nailed it. But then by evening time, I kind of settle in, and it kind of goes away from me. So what was that thing? And you have that built in you that once you make a decision about something, you just go after it. And yeah, it's almost like a blind horse that just runs in one direction,
yeah,
until he gets there. What is that special thing that I am missing?
I think it's from this kind of mentality of running brick and mortar retail businesses. You're so goal oriented.
Yeah.
You're only as good as last week's sales flash.
Yeah.
You're only as good as the results that you deliver. And so the perception of your performance is always related to the results that you deliver. And so my mind works that way of say, if I do this, this is what will happen. If I don't do this, it likely won't. And so I am very driven to accomplish a goal. And I think I was trained that way in stores.
But I have that mechanism as well. Like, I have that mechanism. If I do this, I'm going to be here. If I don't do this, I'm going to be there. And still, things are not happening in the same way. So I need you to dig deeper there. I just need you to go deeper and tell me, what is that secret?
So if we go back to the age conversation, making the decision to write a book at 55 was the idea of, what are my choices? And the choices were more limited, and there was more at risk if I didn't. I guess that's what I thought about it.
Can I just get you to that point? You know, sometimes, okay, this is another thing. Sometimes I have to lead Ron by, I have to take his hand and lead him to the answer. So I could ask the questions and say the answers. I think I accept your answer, but I do think that looking at you and looking at the way that you act, I do think that when you tap into that soft spot and when you tap into that place that you're really passionate about, that mm-hmm. this is really the core of your passion, and that's being around people, talking to people, encouraging people, mm-hmm. Speaking to people. Like when you touch these points, you just shine. And I think sometimes the answer is as simple as that. It doesn't have to be around struggle. It doesn't have to be around mm-hmm. what is going to happen. The world is going to collapse. Sometimes it's about that real fact that when you really touch your passion, then, you know, things just happen. And you don't always think of them as I'm just suggesting.
There's no maybe less strategy.
Right.
And more thought around what
makes you happy.
Yeah, what makes you happy. What will this get me?
Right.
That provides the opportunity to do more of what I love.
And this is maybe the core of the story, is that we often think about what is the next thing that we're going to do in terms of how am I going to be able to afford this apartment? And then everything seems limited in that sense, because I'm doing something specific. I'm mm-hmm. doing something that I make a certain amount of money for. But if I go to work now at this place, I'm going to make much less maybe, or a completely different position, start all over again. So the thought is always around, I'm going to start something new. It's not always about what am I really good at? What am I really loving to do every day, yeah. regardless of how much money this is going to make me?
Yeah.
Because we knew that writing that book is not going to be, it's not going to make us millionaires.
No. But what it does is open other doors to do what I love. And so you're right. The opportunity to now go and speak at store manager conferences who have all read Retail Pride, who are so that's highlighted and dog-eared, and they're so excited to meet me and to share their story about their careers, to be able to host, you know, Frontline Fridays and have people on every week that have this intense passion for the front line. All of that happened
because of that book.
Because of the book, yeah. But also, you're right. I think the conversations become more natural, and your commitment level is higher because you love what you do.
You're just in your element.
You are in your element.
So one of the problems that I have and that I'm experiencing is that there's so many things that I love to do. And that's why every day I get up with a new great idea, in my opinion, that I can do. And I still have to work on myself very hard to narrow it down, to focus it, to really listen to my heart. And it's only within the last... I've been meditating for many years, but it's only within the last few months that I started thinking about that meditation as a tool to just calm these voices down and not think, wait, this is going to give me the solution, but I just need to shut it all down. Mm-hmm. I need to go to a place where I'm quiet. I need to go to a place where all these voices of what I can do need to just disappear into the background, and I just need to feel myself for a minute in order to understand what is that thing that I'm passionate about and that I can do effortlessly. Mm-hmm. I think in your situation, for example, with trying something new, I almost feel like you have that spark and you just follow that initial spark, where I have that spark, but I let that spark go away.
Mm. I think that's fair. It's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
But one's not better than the other.
No, I don't think...
They're just different, I think, but it's recognizing it. And you also sense my frustration when I'm presented with too many options.
Right.
Because I share with you that I get overwhelmed really easily.
Right.
And I know that's because I'm presented with too many things that don't align with that spark that you're describing.
Yeah.
So then I say to you, I can't handle all these different ideas.
Right.
And where your natural ability is to handle multiple thought processes at the same time. And I don't.
Well, it's also about learning to say no to some ideas and not say yes to everything that is happening. I want to go back to that post because I'm actually surprised that so many people are in the same position. I shouldn't be surprised. But I want to go back to your post and to the fact that many people feel that frustration. And I guess it comes at a certain age when you're kind of being phased out or slowly feeling like you're phased out mm-hmm. of what you've been doing for so many years, of what you studied. And then you have to find a new path. Why is it so difficult for us, with all the experience that we have, with all the tools that we have, with everything that we know that we can do? We've helped build a multi-million dollars companies.
Yeah.
Why are we struggling to say, this is the next thing I'm going to do with everything that we know?
Yeah. But it's a deep question. I don't know that there's one answer, but I also think it's understanding your own power, your own strength, your own abilities, how to speak to your own abilities and to and not let social media get in your head that this is only a young person's game, mm-hmm. that there's a lot of power in experience, and use that to your best advantage and yeah. what you want to accomplish.
It's also about not being afraid to take a step back. Like, we always think that this progression is making a step forward, making a leap.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's about taking 10 steps backwards, right? And we've both done that in our careers several times
right.
of taking that step back in order to move forward.
Yeah.
I think that there's a lot in it also about how society looks at you and what society thinks about you getting older and you performing your job. And I mean, we know that it's been in the news for many, many years that you get to a certain age and, you know, companies just don't see you as valuable as someone younger. But something interesting that someone showed me, and that's another story, because one of our neighbors came to pick up something from our apartment, and he came in and I gave him what he needed. And I was looking at him and I was like, do you want coffee? And I don't even know why I did that, because I don't have any. And he was like, yeah, of course I want coffee. And so we sat down and we just chatted for an hour about life and about, you know, living here and about being on the road and all that. And I'm only saying that because I want to show you how much I've changed, because I lived in New York in a building apartment with 900 apartments. Never said hello to anybody.
It's true.
Let alone let someone in my house and ask him if he wants coffee. But then he sent me something really interesting afterwards. And he sent me something from Instagram about Singapore and about the government there coming up with a new plan about giving a new subsidy for people who are 40 years or older to go and pursue new higher education to the age and to the times that we're in. Because you study something, and I studied back in 2002. The world has changed so much since then. You studied when, do you want to tell everybody when you studied?
In the 80s.
In the 80s. God, I was a kid.
We're not going there.
But you studied something in the 80s, and the world has changed so much.
Right.
But we expect people who are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, sometimes more than that, perform jobs that the education that they had is not compatible yeah. with the amount of information or the technology that exists today. And in Singapore, going back to that, they're building this subsidy for people over 40 to go and pursue higher education in a way that is relevant and that is right for our times, and give people another chance to study something new and to become proficient in, you know, in what's happening today.
Yeah.
Everything with AI, with technology taking over our lives, sometimes personal lives, sometimes work-wise. Yeah.
That's incredible.
It is pretty amazing, right?
Certainly not something this country embraces.
So I think it is a lot about how society treats you at a certain age. So, you know, sometimes you care about it and you can go into this hole of what am I going to do? And sometimes you just have to like put a big F word on it.
True.
And
drop
just
that coconut.
Right.
Age drop is the a coconut.
Right. And it's never too late.
Never too late.
Never too late.
Never. We're going to keep. I ended that post by saying, I'm going to write another book in my 60s.
Right.
I'm going to be a great husband. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to do all the things that will keep me strong and mentally together and powerful going into my 60s now.
Yeah.
And that feels great.
Yeah, I think it does. It feels great to me too. Ron, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're going to keep talking about it a lot.
We will. It's an interesting topic. Thank you.
Thank you. Starting something new can be challenging simply because we often go back to the things that we feel comfortable doing, even if they don't fulfill us in a spiritual way. The truth is that when I graduated college, I was more courageous in doing new things, like moving to New York, going to interviews to get that new job, and pretending that I can rule the world. Today, when I have all these tools in my belt, decades of experience, and a true sense of my capabilities, I feel less compelled to give myself a chance to chase that new dream or to start something new all on my own. As I do all this repetitive work that I'm so good at, I get glimpses of inspiration that show me a different path, and my body gets so excited for a fraction of a moment until the next mouse click brings me back to that work that I do so well for others. I wish I would listen to these moments more, dive into them the minute they appear, expand my horizons, and let myself lose my mind in them. In the past few years, I have found myself interviewing for positions and often asked myself, are they not seeing me? Are they not seeing what I have to offer, my work ethic, talent, and years of experience? The true question that I ask myself today is not how come they are not seeing me, but am I seeing myself? Am I recognizing all these things I desperately want everyone to recognize in me? I tell myself the answer is complex, but it is actually very simple. No. So I can have another answer, you know it is coming by now. I have to bet on myself. Bet that I'm capable, adaptable, and deserve any change I need in my life. If you're inspired, reach out to us, and maybe we can drop some coconuts together, who knows. If you share this podcast with someone you love, we won't be mad at you at all. And we're grateful that you took a moment to join us. Until the next time, drop some coconuts in 3, 2, 1.